Janet Salter's kitchen table was cramped for 7 people. Peterson and the 4 women cops had guns on their hips, which made them wide. Reacher himself was not narrow, elbow to elbow, but perhaps as a consequence the atmosphere was cozy. At first, Janet Salter was tense, as were Reacher and Peterson, for other reasons. The 4 women cops were happy to talk. Then Janet Salter began to relax, and Reacher and Peterson took a mutual, unspoken decision to save it for when it was going to count. They joined in. Everyone told stories. Janet Salter had attended a small local elementary school a long time ago. The farm boys had been sewn into their winter underwear in November and not released until March. By January, the smell was awful. By February, it was unbearable. Peterson's experience had been different. He was half Janet Salter's age. His school was exactly the same as he saw in all the TV shows he watched. He felt part of America, until he looked at a map. 700 miles from the nearest major league team, a long way from anywhere. Something timid in his head had told him he would never leave. He confessed it quite openly. 2 of the women cops were from North Dakota. They had come south for jobs. And for warmer weather, one said with a smile. Their educations had been similar to Peterson's. Reacher didn't say much, but he knew what they were talking about. Lockers, the gym, the principal's office. He had been to 7 elementary schools, all of them overseas on foreign bases, but all of them imported direct from the United States as standardized kits of parts. Outside, he had been in the steamy heat of Manila or Leyte, or the damp cold of Germany or Belgium, but inside, he could have been in North Dakota, or South Dakota, or Maine, or Florida. At times, he had been 12,000 miles from the nearest major league team. Something in his head had told him he would never stay still. They had fruit for dessert and coffee, and then they cleared the table and washed the dishes, all of them together, part professional, part collegial. Then the day watch women went off duty and went upstairs. The night watch women headed for the hallway and the library. Janet Salter picked up her book. Reacher and Peterson went to the parlor to wait. 7:05 in the evening. 9 hours to go. Chapter 30. Peterson kept checking his watch. Reacher kept time in his head. 7 o'clock. 5 past. 10 past. 1:15. No activity on the street. The view out from under the lip of the porch stayed the same. Snow, ice, wind. Peterson's parked car, the lookout police cruiser, its vigilant driver. Peterson took the Glock out of his holster and checked it over and put it back. Reacher had the Smith & Wesson in his pants pocket. He didn't need to check it was there. He could feel its weight. Peterson was at the window. Reacher sat down in Janet Salter's chair. He was thinking about the runway and the old stone building and the wooden huts. The first wooden hut, in particular. He asked, "Does Kim have a sister?" Peterson said, "No." "A niece or a cousin?" "No nieces. Some cousins. Why?" "That girl I saw in the hut, sitting on the bed. She looked familiar. At first, I thought I had seen her before, but I don't see how. So now I'm trying to pin it down. Either she was just a local type, or she looks like someone else I saw." "There's no real local type here." "You think?" "You and Chief Holland look the same." "He's older." "Apart from that." "A little, maybe. But there's no local type. And that girl looked like someone I saw on my first night here, I think. And the only woman I saw on my first night here was Kim. And the old ladies on the bus. No resemblance." "The waitress in the restaurant?" "Not her. Kim doesn't have sisters or nieces, and I think all her cousins are boys." "Okay," Reacher said. Maybe you saw a guy. Brothers and sisters can look alike. Lowell has a sister who looks just like him. Remember him, the officer you met? Tough on her, Reacher said. What did this mystery girl look like anyway?
Tall and thin and blonde.
We're all tall and thin and blonde.
My point exactly.
But you can tell us apart.
Reacher said, if I concentrate.
Peterson smiled briefly and turned back to the window. Reacher joined him there. 7:20. All quiet. Far to the east, and a little to the south, Susan Turner dialed her phone again. Her guy in the Air Force answered on the first ring. He said he had been about to pick up the phone and call her himself, because he had news. The relevant file had just come through.
So, what's down there under the ground? Susan asked.
He told her.
That's vague. Is there any way you can get more detail?
You told me this was private and off the record.
It is.
You sound like your next promotion depends on it.
I'm trying to help someone, that's all. And vagueness won't do it.
Who are you trying to help?
Susan Turner paused. A friend.
How good of a friend?
I don't know yet.
How good do you want him to be?
Good enough to be worth checking some more.
Her guy said, okay, I'll check some more. I'll get back to you.
At 7:30, Janet Salter started moving around. Reacher heard her in the hallway. He heard the cop on the bottom stairs say that dinner had been great. He heard Janet Salter reply politely. Then she came into the parlor. Reacher wanted to put her in the basement, but he decided to wait until the siren sounded. That would be the time she would be most likely to comply, he thought, when she heard that banshee wail again. She asked,
what is about to happen?
Peterson asked,
why do you think something is about to happen?
Because you're here, Mr. Peterson, instead of being home with Mrs. Peterson and your children, and because Mr. Reacher has gone even quieter than usual.
Peterson said, nothing is going to happen.
Reacher said, there's an 8 o'clock head count up at the jail. We think they're going to come out one short. They're going to hit the panic button.
At 8 o'clock?
Maybe 1 minute past.
An escape?
Peterson said, we think it might have already happened. They'll find out when they count heads.